Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
Oh, well, hello, everybody. What caught me off guard there was the human lessons. Oh, do we have one today?
Do we have one? Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I remember saying that. The human lessons. And today is identity. And talk about a lesson. We've titled this one, GP, well, you have this lovely line, the only mistake you can ever make. And I liked your first one too. Your one very big mistake, identity. All right. We're going to get this show to a super kickstart here. I would have thought needed an identity. I mean, we get our ID cards. Where's your ID? Who, you know, this is a big thing, right? Why, like, identity gets us into trouble. So where are we coming from on this level with self-inquiry? And are we supposed to shed all identity or just understand identity better?
Well, first off, we don't know what it is, right? Ah. Right, what you think you are, you're not. I mean, that's where it starts. Identity is who you believe yourself to be. It's who you show up as. It's who you act like. Identity is like the super product, right? It's the curator of your life. We make gazillion decisions a day about what we're going to bring into our life and what we're not, right?
Right.
How do we make those decisions? How do I decide what I like and what I don't? How do I go into a shoe store and only pick one pair of shoes and only look at like five in order to pick the one rather than every shoe in the store? Imagine going into any store and not being able to tell the difference, right? No product would look any better or worse than another. No criteria for deciding. That's what identity is. It is the criteria by which we make all of our decisions. Your life, your career, your interests, your friends, your mate, the clothes you wear, your taste in music is all determined by your identity. The problem is, for the vast majority of us, that identity is not chosen by us. It is given to us by our tribe, by the culture, and we just take it on. And therein lies the mistake. Because our initial experiences in life do not set us free to be our happy little selves. Exactly the opposite. Our initial experiences in life are one of taking the genuine, real, authentic you and turning it into a conforming member of the tribe. And this is, it happens to every single one of us. There are no exceptions to this. It's not the kind of thing you can opt out of.
No, not for me. I don't want that.
No, thank you. Really, really nice, but thank you. this is what happens. It's called conditioning. It's called the cultural conforming. It happens to every single one of us. And along the line, we forget who we actually are, the authentic you, the real you, the originally innocent you is completely forgotten, and it has to be. I can't go into all the details of how it works, because it's involved, but just suffice it to say that the you that you really are is not allowed to come out and play. And therefore, you must assume an identity that is more to the liking of your tribe. That means you survive, because if your tribe doesn't like you, you're rejected and you die. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a big deal. You kind of have to do it. But the thing is, then, is that we forget who we actually are, your genuine, authentic self. And so now you are simply acting out a version of you that isn't you. Yes. This is how it works. And that's what the issue is about identity. The real you is beyond any identity you could possibly come up with. As you get older and more of the intellect comes online, right? Because this is all happening before you can even talk, let alone think, right? But later on, as intellect comes on and identity begins to solidify and interact with the world at large, it gets the name ego. It's your ego.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Identity and ego are one.
This is funny. I'm laughing right now because you made me think of the yearbook, the dreaded yearbook, you know, at school. And have those little squares of this is your worth and value and popularity. And if you were this group, would clique at that and that. And I remember one of my final years, I said, nope, I am not going to be in it. And I missed it every time. I didn't get my picture. I refused to be in any of them. And I was rebelling against being in the yearbook. Now, I was a happy student, you know, did my stuff, but there was something that really bothered me about this. And I thought, I don't want to look back in 20 years and judge others and myself. And
certainly not by the hairstyle.
Yeah, exactly, right? And now we should be able to like laugh at ourselves or see us grow, but it can cause a lot of pain for some have an image of reflecting back to them how they thought of themselves and how others see themselves.
Oh, absolutely. It can be enormously painful because the identity you choose, remember, the identity that's initially assigned to you by the tribe, right?
Right.
Works in the tribe, right?
Yes.
We all survived, obviously, so it worked.
Right. Right.
So, because if it hadn't, you wouldn't be here listening to me. Right, you'd be on to your next life for trying it again. You know, do over. but what works for you as a 3-year-old or as a 5-year-old doesn't work for you as a 15-year-old or a 25-year-old or a 50-year-old. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But we get stuck in these places. We get stuck in certain. What we get stuck in is not the specific identity, because that does morph over time. Obviously, you're not the same at 15 as you are at 5, right? And, of course, the teenager is the most difficult of all, because we're trying to find an identity that's going to help us function, that's going to allow us to function in the world to get our needs met from a larger tribe, plus find
tribes.
A mate and all that other kinds of stuff. So we're trying on things left and right, trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. But notice, at every stage along the line, whether it be the child or then the teenager, the action is the same. I'm trying to become somebody that's going to work within the environment that I live. It is never, how do I get to be me?
Yeah.
That's the spiritual journey. That, in most lives, that never happens. That question never, ever comes up. I mean, look around. What is self-help about? It's not about finding out who you are. It's about, you know, making those affirmations and having that dream life, right? Having the boat or the car or the supermodel girlfriend or whatever it might be. It's not about finding out who you are. There's nothing about self-discovering in it. It's about getting.
Who can I show the world I am that they'll accept me?
Yes, absolutely. And try to accept myself. So now, okay, well, if I get all these things, then I'll be acceptable to myself. I mean, this is amazing stuff.
Yeah, this really, yeah. That's why I'm so happy that we are talking about this. Because I love, like, we always kind of thread this through because this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out who are we already. It's not, I love that you asked that question. Like, we're asking, how do I get to be me? And that's the golden ticket right there. How do I get to be me? Because I'm others. What if we felt, okay, how about this one? I've got an identity. I'm carrying it around. I'm showing it to the world and the world is accepting me and I'm happy, and I'm good. I'm safe, but I'm not happy.
Right.
How does one even begin to be willing to either A, let go? Do we let go of an identity or is this where that inner fancy stuff happens?
Yeah, that's where this inner fancy stuff happens, you know? That's where you break out the gurus, you know.
Break out the gurus. Oh, I love that. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, first off, for most people, because this process by which the identity gets created is so subtle and so consistent. It goes on our entire lives until it's understood. It just will continue to do it over and over and over again. So it will just continue to try to make yet another identity.
Ah, yeah.
For many people, at some point in their life, the discovery is made that, you know, no matter what identity I make, it's just going to be another identity.
Yeah.
But we don't think about that. We think, oh, no, I just got to, have a better view of myself. I have to more self-esteem, or I have to be better organized, or I better manage my time better, and I'm going to be more successful. I'm not quite satisfied. Well, why not? Well, I'm not successful enough, right? Yeah. In this culture especially, we don't think of, wait a minute, maybe the whole approach is wrong. It's always the next thing I can do, the next thing I can get, the next thing I can become. Have, do, or be. Isn't that one of the mantras, you know? You can mm-hmm. have, do, and be anything you want. Isn't that one of the mantras of yeah. the whole, you know?
Self-help, yeah.
Yeah, law of distraction.
Right.
So it's only at certain points. And as far as I can tell, it's simply a matter of grace where something just kind of happens and you hear a completely different thing. You say, you know what? Maybe your whole approach is wrong. Maybe what you're really trying to find is you. And if that hits, something inside clicks and you enter into the spiritual path. You have just become a seeker. Like it or not.
Oh, I like that. But now, a seeker is not an identity, though. It is...
It starts as one. Everything starts as one. And, you know, everybody starts as... You know, you're the seeker, right? It's like when somebody becomes a vegan, right? At first, you know, I'm going to... it makes a lot of sense. And then you tell everybody in the goddamn world you're a vegan. They become the most annoying people on the planet.
Right. So is that okay then to I guess I want to judge it. See, I already want to judge it if it's good or bad. Is it okay to have that identity over this? Yes, and I guess that was one of them.
Obviously, okay. because the mechanism is still active. We haven't seen through it yet, right? But the direction is now. You're headed in the right direction, right? And of course, you're going to take on the identity. It happens all the time. People become spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. And so now all of a sudden, they want to talk softer, right? Or they wear different clothes, or they get the man bun, right?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
I do believe I'm the only person in the world who plays a hang drum who does not have a man bun.
Hey, that's true. Mind you, with his hair, you could. No,
no, I can't. No, that choice is not in my catalog.
we'll just keep you in hemp clothes. That's all.
So you understand how it works,
yeah,
because it's going to be there. And so when it's very rare that somebody sees through this whole the whole facade of it all at once. At first, But if you're fortunate enough to get a good teacher, right, mm-hmm. who can guide you gently, right, and not try to strip it away so fast that you implode,
right,
but
yes.
also not let you sit there in it, constantly pulling the rug out a little at a time. The good master teacher can do that. And that's why for the most part a teacher is necessary, because you can't get this stuff off of YouTube. If you listen to YouTube, 99.99% of the spiritual teachers out there are a person with a spiritual identity that has a particular ideology.
Okay. Yes, they like they're okay. So just to expand that before the commercial. How do we distinguish between a gentle, guiding spiritual teacher and an identity ideology teacher?
Well, first off, the real teacher will never tell you what to believe. They'll just keep pointing you at stuff, keep engaging you. It will never tell you to accept anything unquestioningly. Will okay. always say, take it for checking. What do you think? Check it out. Look for yourself. They will never diminish you. They will never demean you. They will always be supportive. They will always be loving. If they're like that, if you feel safe and appreciated in their presence, you got a real teacher.
Mm. Oh, I love that. If you feel safe in their presence and gentle guiding and questioning. Okay, that was beautiful. Okay, so we'll go to the commercial break. When we come back, guys, to the Flow of Enlightenment here with G.P. Walsh, who is a very gentle guiding spiritual teacher, I might add. And we're going to explore this identity and how it cannot be are the biggest mistake ever.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Touch, move, and inspire. Sharing your story of how you overcame your deepest struggle will serve as someone else's survival guide. You are ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page. I'm Jocelyn Bellows, host of Breakdown to Wake Up, a live stream show dedicated to sharing personal journeys of men and women who have traversed through mazes of uncertainty, dark clouds, and dishonoring themselves. And the lessons they have learned along this path of what one can accomplish in our own self-discovery. And as a writing and life coach, I work with men and women to break through the BS of their lives to find their own voice and leaping into a life they love. It is my belief that when we share our stories of how we overcame what we have been through, it will serve as someone else's survival guide. So if you're ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page, I'd love to hear from you. Go to www.jocelynbellows.com and join me every Tuesday at noon Eastern and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
right. Welcome back to the Flow of Enlightenment, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, I love this time. I get to be the student for everybody else and ask GP all these deep questions. And this is what I love about self-inquiry, GP, is that, sure, they're deep, absolutely, but they're absolutely questions we're all asking ourselves kind of every day or lightheartedly ask, but don't know that these are real questions we can go inward and get answers to.
Well, how about that?
I know.
Well, I mean, this whole thing would be a bit of a mess if there wasn't actually something you could do about it, right? I mean,
yeah.
In certain traditions, in certain views, certain scientific views, you don't have an actual identity. Identity is completely a formation. There's nothing that is genuinely you. Mm. Everything is, in fact, a product of the environment. And, you know, it was kind of the leading idea for a while, behavioralism. You were nothing more than your conditioning. There was nothing inherent about you. Mm-hmm. Which is so dehumanizing.
Yeah.
And it has led, all the totalitarian models, economic system, capitalism and communism, both had that as an idea that people could just be programmed. I mean, that's what marketing is about and advertising, mm-hmm. and all that. That you can just be programmed, that there's nothing inherent there. So that, you know, the perfect citizen can be created. And indoctrinated. So, I mean, it's not insignificant. And, of course, as far as the culture is concerned, the tribe is concerned, that's preferable, right? Because the less individuality there is, the more cultural authority there is. Individuality is a threat to power.
Yes. Ooh, I have to write that down. With that, I want to ask, individuality, yes, being a threat to power, what about the person who, when they are, you're right, with they don't have their tribe around them, they don't have the culture, they're just dancing in their bedroom, you know, they just feel comfortable and they don't have an identity. I don't know, maybe we do have an identity by ourselves, but what about when it shifts, when, okay, the family came home and now I've got to step back into this role, whether you're a father or a mother and you've got to get this done and that done, or a kid that, like, would, is it true? Like, can our identity be that fleeting, that when we're alone, we feel one way and then in front of others, we're another?
Well, it is fleeting. It's supposed to be fleeting. The problem is we have mistaken what we had, a particular form or personality we had to adopt in one moment, we mistake that for being the permanent characteristic. The ego is not a thing. It's not what you are. Identity is not a thing. It comes and goes. And of course, I'm a completely different character with my 4-year-old granddaughter. I'm down on the ground. We're rolling on. We're on the swing together, and the swing becomes the car, and we drive to the store, and the
that's awesome,
right? To shop, and we get stuff, and then we run over and we cook it, you know. And I am definitely not the guru.
Guru, grandpa,
you know,
guru.
When I'm sitting there chugging like a choo-choo, right? But right. Then I wouldn't sit and chug a choo-choo here doing the show, right?
And so, yes,
I mean, that's the whole point. When you realize that it's not who you are, it's not you become nothing. It becomes you become whatever you need to be in the moment. And you never get stuck in any of them. You don't get lost in the identity.
Oh. Right?
So, I mean, I still have characteristics. When I go to the shoe store, I don't hyperventilate. I mean, there's a couple I'm interested in. That's it.
Right.
Right. And so, great. That's what I need then. I don't need to look at 500 pairs of shoes. Right.
Right. Yes.
But at the same time, I know that none of those are actually me. And it could change. You know,
yeah.
A year from now, it'll be different pair of shoes I'll be doing. So, what you know, there's nothing consistent about it at all. It's thinking that it is that gets us stuck, and stuck is suffering.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think that's what the permission, it feels like we almost need that permission to say that, you know, how many times has somebody experienced or witnessed it, you know, even if it hasn't happened to themselves, but somebody hasn't seen you for a long time and then you meet up with them and they're like, wow, you've changed, or you're not the person you used to be. Yeah. You know, but we take such offense to it. We take it like negatively almost, it seems like, oh, we, you know, first, I'm sure everybody might say, oh, yeah, I know I'm older. You know, we always this negative thing. But why is it, what is it about when we fear that somebody else might think we were different and we've changed and not in the good way?
Well, identity or ego requires the recognition of somebody else in order to make it feel safe, in order to make it feel secure. Mm.
Ah,
your true identity does not need any outside confirmation. It's simply what you are.
My God.
But the ego needs constant outside confirmation. It's forever looking to others to confirm who it is. So it's got to prove itself to others. It's got to get others' attention, or it's got to get others' approval. That way it feels, okay, this is what I really am. I'm whatever. I'm an artist, right? Or I'm brilliant, right? And it just looks around for a bunch of people it can collect around it who will confirm that it's brilliant. You're wonderful, right? Yeah, oh yeah, you're great, right? Wow. Now, if you're somebody of a lot of power, right, you can collect around yourself a bunch of yes men that will are more than willing to tell you that. Or a great star. You know, I've heard of particular celebrities who just, you know, everybody just has to praise them all the time. Or they just, yes. they go off in a tuff, in a tiff, right?
Yeah.
So they need to be that, you know, that means they are the identity they've created for the public persona. They have no idea who they are. Matter of fact, I don't think any celebrities know who they are, actually. Mm-hmm. I think they all get lost to it to a certain degree. But that's the nature of the egoic mind, because it is insubstantial in itself. It's basically a fiction. It needs confirmation from others in order to feel safe. The reality of you, your true nature, which is beyond identity, doesn't need anything to confirm it. It is self-sustained and self-aware.
Okay. Is it easier to, I don't want to say drop, shift, change, or let it just go away for a minute? You know, like if your ego is standing in the way, is it easier to let a negative identity, like a hurtful or harmful identity, drop other than a positive one? And just to give that example, let's say it's your health and somebody has fibromyalgia or something. I'm trying to pick something that's mysterious that it's very difficult to pinpoint. Is it easier to drop one that could be harmful to you? Like if you could say, no, I don't have fibromyalgia, or I'm not this person, I want to be this healthy person, versus you're the smartest chess player, I don't know. You know, like now you have to drop that. You know, you're like, well, I want to keep that identity. You know,
No. There's nothing either. Yeah, there's no difference. It's simply. Remember, every identity becomes solidified because it works.
Ah, right.
It keeps you safe and gets you what you need in the environment. So if being a maudlin victim has managed to get you what you need, it will have a momentum to it that you will perpetuate. Matter of fact, you'll resist praise. You'll resist improving.
Yes.
And,
you know, yes.
And somebody who has gotten everything in life because they've been really aggressive, right? And selfish, until the rewards are no longer forthcoming, that identity will continue. Either the rewards are not forthcoming, in which case you try to find another one, which it does, or an awakening takes place where you begin to see through it.
Oh, I like that.
And that usually happens when suffering has become adequate.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's you know, I'm so many scenarios or popping up in my brain right now of, you know, people and me and all these things of when these are happening. And I do, you know, what's so funny is, and share this publicly, I had, I'm going to say, because I don't have it anymore, Raynaud's phenomenon, which is capillaries in my feet, you know, where we're so small and, you know, toes would turn black and blue and all those fun things. And so my footwear really revolved around, you know, this condition. Well, then I, you know, managed to regain my health and be the person I wanted to be back in 2012. And I haven't had, and I could wear all this footwear, but it felt weird because I was known as the barefoot catwalking lady. And who would I be walking cats with shoes now, right?
Shoes on. Oh my God. What would I be in 6-inch heels?
Right. It literally felt like, well, and yeah, the whole, yes, identity was really interesting. And it was almost uncomfortable to go in public going, oh my gosh, everybody knows I'm wearing shoes. Like people I don't even, I'm now in the store and I think everybody knows that Lisa's wearing
everybody
shoes.
Knows, yes. Yes.
And so how do we, it's kind of funny, when we do, let's call it drop an identity or shift one for another, should we just immediately feel safe? Or is that what you're saying? That the spiritual teacher helps guide us through that?
Yeah, the spiritual teacher is almost a necessity to get through all of that, because it is totally confusing, right? You don't know who you are, right? That's where it starts. You have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Who are you really, right? Becomes the question, and you don't know. So the job of the teacher is to show you how to find out, how to in the most suffering free way, to bring you out of the stuck identification into the flow of being, that's what the flow of enlightenment is, where you're no longer stuck in any particular identity or personality. You have equal access to all sorts of inner resources that can take just an unlimited number of forms, right, that are very appropriate for the moment and very functional within the moment. But the getting to the point where you really are letting go of the identity you've been holding on to for safety is the heart and soul of it. That's the only reason why this whole non-dual inquiry stuff is difficult.
Mm. Okay, so two questions. One's funny. It's not a question. It's, you made me think of when we say it's gluten-free or aluminum-free, and I was like, it's suffer-free. I felt like that's our clothing line, everybody. It's going to be coming out soon, the T-shirts,
yes.
Suffer-free line.
suffer-free.
Oh, gosh. The question really is then, how can we begin this inquiry process of finding, going, okay, do we sit down with a pen and paper and make a list of all the identities that serve us and that don't, they no longer serve us? Is that what we literally do?
Heavens no.
Oh, okay.
Heavens no. This isn't works, a this college doesn't. Course. You know, this isn't your 7 steps for manifesting the house, right? What happens is twofold. Number one, we begin to realize that our life simply isn't working. Stuff isn't working, and something inside kind of begins to open you up to the possibility that the answer lies inside. It lies within me, that I'm not going to find it out there, and I'm not going to be able to find it in just doing yet another program, taking yet another course, taking on another set of characteristics, going through another training, learning some more skill. It's not going to cut it. Something else is needed. And that's what begins to open the door to begin self-inquiry. I mean, what's the heart and soul of the self? But who are you really?
Yeah.
Who are you really? Without the identity, without all the other stuff, without anything extra added, right? All original equipment.
There's another great one. I love it.
Yeah. What is just you?
When you said about when things are no longer working, right? I've heard many people, and probably myself, I know I don't know the vice of, but it doesn't matter. Then they say, why do things never work? You know, you go to use something, the batteries are dead, or you go to plug in something and you're like, or you can't find something. Why is life, you know, why is it never working for me? And you would think that that's just a question that you think, yes, I've got to be more organized. I've got to be more prepared. I've got to have more patience. I need more skills. But yeah. Is what you're saying is even in those circumstances, like we call them, you know, life circumstances, is that's an opening, a window that might be saying, hey, this is about you. Is it really? If the remotes aren't working all the time, is that kind of, it could be you?
It's all you. Yeah, when things aren't working, it's the best time in the world to look at yourself. We always look at the circumstances. We never look at the player. We yell at the author and never look at the main character.
Yes.
Or more accurately, we yell about the main character and want to get a new main character and never deal with the author. And you're the author, right? Yeah, the whole point of spiritual inquiry is to get you to look at you, not at the circumstances. The circumstances are always a byproduct of yourself. And unfortunately, when that little bit of information got out there, it got grabbed by the law of attraction crowd and says, oh, so it's a manifestation of me. Okay, so now I just have to manipulate myself to be in a certain way, and then I'll manifest what I want,
Yes. Which
is exactly the opposite of inner inquiry. It isn't trying to, you know, first we manipulate the external circumstances, then we try to manipulate our minds and our emotions and our thoughts and our beliefs.
Yes. Right?
And never ask the fundamental question, who are you? Who is it behind all of this? What were you before you got conditioned? Before any of the enculturation took place? Before any of this stuff is in childhood? Before that first trauma? Before you even knew there was a you, where it was just pure undifferentiated consciousness, who were you?
That is, you know, just so amazing. We, you know, we are going to continue the peek behind the curtain after the commercial breaks, but we're looking for the master. Come on back after for the flow of enlightenment, the flow of being.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right, let's get down to business again here. I think go. Oh, well, everybody, you've been enjoying this fun tour through identity with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. But more than anything, we have to make this invitation for you guys to come on over to the website to get onto the list. This is the Light Letter, the newsletter, the Light Letters list. There's just so much, you know what, your website, GP, is just, there's so much there. There's so, free meditations. You can find out what's going on, which upcoming events and classes, because you are a teacher. So you teach, and we need students.
Yeah. It's kind of what I do.
Yeah, kind of what you do. And so we are definitely, you know, love meeting new students who are stepping into this class, you know, self-inquiry. So please go on over to gpwalsh.com. And also to explore, there's two other places, make my invitations. There is a fun private Facebook group, GP Walsh Spiritual Teacher. Did I say that? Yes, I did. And you know what? We've just put so many of you things there. You've got questions. You've got answers. You've got some posts. Some people, other people ask questions that, you know, other people might connect with. And then every Sunday, they can head on over to YouTube and catch your Sat Song with G. Eastern time would be 3 p.m., so 3 till 5 p.m. There's about 70, 80 people that are always there, and they're just, wow, there's questions pouring in from all kinds of self-inquiry. With that, I would love to ask you this, GP. I don't remember this or anything, but I guess I wanted to hear a success story, but I know we all have them. But is there a story or something that kind of stands out to you where somebody really was able to, they hadn't been able to turn around an area that they were truly suffering because of this identity addiction? And through the self-inquiry, how they, not, you know, say names or anything, how they might have, like, what magic happened for them?
Well, I've got a number of those amongst my students, because that's, you know, that's the foundational thing that I teach. Yes. And the effect that it has. They find, you know, money starts happen, shows up, you know, relationships harmonize. Mm-hmm. I had woman, her husband started wanting to have sex with her.
Oh, yay! Desire.
Yeah, it has such a therapeutic effect. It's not primarily therapeutic in nature, but it has just this extraordinary therapeutic effect, because at the essence of all of our problems is the sense of identity. Mm-hmm. Identity is the thing that gets in the way of our lives. It is the thing that holds us back. It is the thing that creates self-sabotage. It is the thing that creates all the negative self-talk, all the self-judgment and self-demeaning, the diminishment of others. It is what creates hatred in the world and bigotry and war. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say in terms of its value, right? But when you recognize that it is the cause of all the problems.
Yes. Yeah, it is the cause of all the problems. You know, interesting is, you know, and most people would say, you know, the one thing, the top two things they want to change in their, well, three, because then we have health, finances, and love, right? Those are the three.
There you go.
Circulate. There we go. There's the jackpot.
And so, there you have it.
And when we think about I love that you said that, you know, it's about us. It's not about the circumstances. We are creating these circumstances. If somebody has a goal of health, something they're not well, there's some health issue, which, whatever it might be, is it that the stress of not, you know, connecting with that identity, like to their true self, causing the illness? Or is the illness come along and now they're like, oh, great, I'm garbage because I've got this illness and I'm not worthy? Chicken and egg.
Yeah, it is kind of a chicken and egg. It happens both ways.
Ah.
It has been demonstrated clearly in numerous studies, you know, scientific, double-blind studies, the whole, and all the research, is that there is a direct correlation between almost all physical illnesses and childhood trauma. And when I'm talking about, you know, being forced to conform to being somebody, taking on an identity that is not natural to you, is the biggest childhood trauma. Every other childhood trauma, even abuse, all it does is contribute to this. It forces you to become somebody you're not, whether that be to just get your needs met, whether that be to avoid being hurt, whatever it is, it is always the case. And so fibromyalgia, you mentioned before, there are tons of studies that show it is a direct result of childhood trauma. There's no way around it, and the sense of identity literally holds the trauma in place. It is a mechanism the nervous system creates to keep you from having to face the sheer horror of the trauma. It's part of the safety mechanism, because and that's why it's so difficult to unearth these things, because your nervous system is trying to keep you from unearthing them, because it's scared to death that if it does, you're going to die.
Yes.
That's why this work gets hard. It gets difficult. It's not because it really is difficult. It's not because you aren't
life or death.
The most magnificent, wonderful creature you could possibly imagine. It's just that magnificent, wonderful creature had to be hidden out of sight from the environment which wanted to kill it.
Yes, yeah. And I did say that my mother had that, and I hint on everybody would might say, you know, what did your mom die from or pass from? And I think I always say stress. like it was, and I not
my
laughing.
Father
laughing,
died of a broken heart.
Yes.
He didn't want to
live. Oh. Yeah. And it really is. Yeah. And these, it's so. It kind of feels empowering to think, okay, all right, if I know it's like, I feel like I want to dangle the candy in front of the kid and say, come on, everybody, let's do this self-inquiry work so that we can all end suffering, right? Come on.
Come on, but, everybody.
But even when it comes to financial situations, is there, if somebody's always broke or they just lose their money all the time or they just can't seem to get ahead, is this because possibly like a trauma in their childhood that's, oh,
of course,
okay.
Of course, it all is. It all is, right? Yeah. Forgive me for seeming as if, you know, I'm kind of Johnny One Note here. But it all is. It is the cause of all suffering. I say that a lot, but I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
To become alienated from who you really are. I mean, this is what it is. The example I love to use is, I'll try to keep it short. Several years ago, there was a big thing that Tilikum, the orca, the killer whale at SeaWorld in Orlando, turned on her trainer and killed her and two other people.
Oh!
And when I heard that story, the movie Blackfish was made about it, and all sorts of laws got changed about animals in captivity and that sort of thing. And when I heard about this story, it was such a shock. Oh, how could that happen? And I went, well, it made perfect sense to me, right? Mm-hmm. You take this critter, this beautiful, huge critter that is used to traveling thousands of miles a year.
Yes. You know,
two-thirds of the world is covered with water, and they play in all of it. That's their world.
Hmm.
Now take that critter and throw it in a swimming pool, and you tell me if it's going to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what's happened to us. I will often refer to us as whales in the swimming pool. You, this infinite, magnificent, extraordinary being, has been forced into this tiny little box in order to survive. You're a whale in the swimming pool, and that discomfort, you're going to spend your whole life trying to compensate for it. But that's why I say it is the only answer. I don't care how nice you make the swimming pool. I don't care how well you decorate the cell. I don't care if you put an air conditioner in hell. You're still in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's where the whale knows who the whale is. And
yes.
The whale wants to be in the oceans and swimming and being themselves and doing what they do.
Yes.
I'm going to squeeze this question in here. Yes, we do. And that's what I love about this. One, I got to put this in here. So when, okay, we got self-inquiry about our own identity. Is there a way to soften and be kinder to others so that we don't hold others to their, can we help others not be stuck in their identity by not seeing it? Or do we just let respond to others how they are because we want them to feel safe, or is it our business?
Well, I sure hope you can help them because that's what I do all day.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
true. That's pretty much what I do all day, every day. So I sure as hope it'll work.
Do we need to do our own work in order to do that for someone else?
Well, in order to do it for someone else, first you have to get a degree of clarity within yourself, right? Okay. If you've learned how to reconcile with these energies yourself, if you've learned how to at least walk on the path, you know, and have done so enough that you have begun to taste the fruits of it, then you can help somebody else, right? You don't have to be a guru. You don't have to be a master, right, in order to help somebody. You know, if you're in third grade, you can help the second grader, right?
Aw, I love that.
So, yeah, there's nothing special that, you know, other than the willingness to be that, the willingness to take this stuff serious for yourself and truly engage in the seeking of your true nature. The only seeking that will eventually transform the seeker until there isn't a seeker anymore.
Yes. I love that. You know, that's a beautiful place right now. This feels like the right place to let people know. Yeah, I want to make this invitation to explore being a student of yours, GP, because you had said something to me last week, or I can't remember, and I thought, yeah, you know, I love doing the work for me, but once I do, I love that you said, like, get on the path and start tasting the fruit. It's, you want to share it, and you know, yeah, a lot of people are out there, and coaches, and they're, you know, doctors, and they help, but this goes for everybody. And so if you are thinking about, you know, just feeling the call to do this work, I do invite everybody to come to the website, you know, send us an email, you know, questions with an S at gpwalsh.com. Just go on the site. You can contact us there, because there are courses that we're going to roll out, you know, whether they're September or just having their own session with you. And I think that's the most benefit that they, you know, they can even start with.
Well, yeah, and learning the process. And I've got doctors who've become my students. I have therapists and psychotherapists. Yeah. I've got people with PhDs. I got people in business, people who are coaches, both life coaches and energy healers, and the lot. Because it's not a system.
Right.
I don't teach a point of view. I don't teach an ideology. I don't teach a philosophy. It is a disposition. It's a shift in perception that will affect everything. And it doesn't matter what your modality is. They all end up being better at it.
I love this. It's not a system. Yes, it is not a system. It is a perception.
It's the Tao. Mm. It's how life actually works. When you understand how life actually works, you're in harmony with it, which means everything you do is in harmony with it. And you become the healer by simply because it's what you are. Your life is healing. There's not even an intention to heal anymore. You don't have to.
Right. Yeah. I like that. You know, I have a friend, and he and I often say, you know, we're going to, you know, we're business partners, so we show up in something, they go, how do you want it? What's our intention? Well, we don't have one. We're just going to show up as love. That's what we're doing. That's our job.
That is your job. And no, it is that simple.
Yeah.
It is that simple. It doesn't have to be so strategized. Right? Mm. You just show up as you. Do you realize how powerful it is and how attractive it is to be with somebody who is themselves? unashamedly, yes. unapologetically. They just are themselves. It's unaffected. They're not assertive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's just such a natural confidence about it, but it's not an acquired confidence. You couldn't even call it confidence. It's like the confidence of a two-year-old. They're completely yes. incompetent about everything.
Yes, yes. And I'll squeeze this in because I know we have to wrap up. I'll squeeze this in is that, you know what? Now I kind of can feel now why sometimes I'm so tired. I get drained when I'm around somebody who is just totally identified. And it's like, oh, can you just be you? You're stressing me out here. Okay. So,
well, yeah, because there's no energy exchange, right?
Right.
Remember, the ego is always sucking energy because it needs constant reinforcement.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm having a home right now. Final minute. My goodness. Okay. Everybody, please come back next week to listen to us again and join here. We do love questions. I keep forgetting that, yes, we're taking questions, but you know what? Email us, please, at questions@gpwalsh.com. Tune in next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern for another episode, of Flow of Enlightenment. And thank you, GP, so much. Just such a beautiful, beautiful time.